Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo. And this is Friday Night with George Dixon. And it's our last Friday Night with George Dixon, actually. We're changing times. We're going to be gone. From now on, we're going to be on Wednesday nights at 6:30 to 7. And we're going to be on Sunday afternoons at 3:30 to 4 o'clock. The schedule programming really won't change too much. It'll be pretty much the topics of the day and so on. But it is the changing of the hours. And
Blog Talk changed their
formats
and their policies, and
we don't want to play that game. So we're kind of like, change. We'd rather change the times and hold on to those and keep everyone happy and coming when they
so you hope
come
stick
to
with
the
us?
Show. So we'll still have the programming and. But you can always get it in the archives. But tonight we have George Dixon joining us, and George is going to kind of talk about, we'll figure out what George wants to talk about tonight. I think he's going to be talking about the polar shift and so on and current things happening.
Let's go right to that.
So we're going to go right to George. Hello, George. Are you with us?
How you doing, Leo? Hi, Lila.
Hi, George. How are you?
Okay, I'm a little sad here. I think being this is the last show on Friday nights,
I know.
I'm happy too, you know? What are you going to say? All things must come to an end. And by golly, I think we've had a good time in the last 4 years, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah, but you got to remember, George, you're still going to be with us, on some of our Sunday shows. We're not leaving the universe here, not yet.
No.
But we hope that we'll have you on our Sunday programs, and things are just going to be a little different because, well, it's the way they are, hopefully it'll shake things up a little bit, and don't look at it as an end, look at it as a rebirth, right?
Yeah, it's a
new way. Leo, it brings to a close Friday nights, and that's been a focus in my life the last 4 years, and it's great. I enjoyed it. Now we'll shift to a Sunday, sure, but it still doesn't. It's still not the same as Friday nights as we understand it. It's amazing, what we covered. And, I can't even begin to start talking about this because we covered so many things and so much materials. And, it's been an initiation for me. And to be truthful, I don't think there's anywhere I could have gone to get this initiation, in the time span that we followed it. And I think we did a pretty good job on it.
Oh, I think so, too, and based on our archives and the type of how many people have actually listened to our program, I'm impressed. But the reason we're changing, and I've told you this, is, we don't want to play this goddamn game with, I'm sorry, Lila.
Well, that's the way business is, though, Leo,
No, I understand, but, at the same time, I don't feel... It doesn't, we brought over 80,000 listeners to this blog talk, and to be treated that way is upsetting to me. And I mean, they never would have had this number, people, all right, if we hadn't been on,
If
we hadn't contributed all these years, 4 years, three nights a week to this programming. But, at the same time, they gave us the opportunity, and we're pleased, and all the people that have listened and got something from the program. But also that, we're still on, just a different time. And, they've provided that. But I, you know, again, it's just a new method, you know, a new way, and a new time. So I'm hoping that it'll work out that way. And I, you know, what can I tell you?
I think it will, you know, but you know, see what it's done for you. I mean, you folks have been following this group on Wednesday and on Thursday, and it's been an avenue that you're able to take that the WQQQ and broadcast it, you know, to the world, not just to, you know, to our section of the world here.
That's right. It allows us to archive those interviews and you know, and further it, and you know, that's why we want to keep it, and we want to do this, but you know, it's just times are changing, and we're changing with them, I guess. And
it's going to change, yeah.
And in some ways, it might, you know, it might refresh the program. It might bring a new set of listeners to our show, you know, at different times.
Well, it will. It's not that it might. It will.
Yeah.
Because with this change, you know, comes the, you know, the benefits. And we got them. We'll have them. You'll have them.
Oh, yeah. But people will be still looking for our show, and they'll find it. And you know, and they'll still be able to. Oh, we got somebody. We got a phone caller.
Yeah, we got a caller. We'll just see who that caller is, George. If you hang on there.
You want to hang on a second? Hang on.
Sure.
Hello, caller 516. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Who is this?
Oh, I'm on the air. Hey, George.
You are
Hi.
On the air.
Who's calling?
Who are you?
Come on, he forgets the voice from Tuesday nights at your place, every night.
Yes. Now, this is a good friend of mine, Dave Heller from the island.
See?
Oh.
Hi.
How you doing, Dave?
I'm good. We met at George's when I came up, was it last summer, George?
Yes.
Yeah. I came up with my wife.
Oh, what, we met you last year?
Yeah, we were sitting on the back table. I came up with Roman.
Oh, yes. How you been?
I'm good. How have you been?
Good. You're joining us on the last Friday night show, though.
Yeah, I got an email.
Let me explain something. Dave has been a friend, and when I lived on the island, Dave used to come to my Tuesday night get-togethers. Now, for 10, 15 years, I had a meeting on Tuesday nights where, you know, I would talk about all my different subjects, my teachings, and new information. But it was also a time to meet up with other people on the island and from New York and just people who would just stop in and spend an evening and talk and listen. And Dave went to those meetings that I had. And Dave also has come up and he's seen my new place up in upstate New York. I moved a couple years ago. And this was during this four-year stint that we've been on the radio. And, you know, I can tell you that I remember times where we did the shows, Leo, from my car through the cell phone. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remember that, George.
Yeah. Well, Dave has been following me. And, Dave, I'm glad you called, my friend.
Well, I got the email from you, and I started reading. You know, I'm not much of a computer person. I was trying to figure out which button do I press whatever to get on from the computer. And then I realized, you know what, I'm just going to call in. And it said if you want to press 1 to be heard. And I figured I'd just listen, but then you Lila, you saw my flash, I guess, there from 516. So, you know, I've been thinking about you a lot, George, and Monica's been saying that we got to get up and visit you soon and see Roman. And it's been on our minds, but we've got some things we need to handle for the next, I'm going to say, February into March, and then we'll see how things roll.
Maybe we can hook up again this summer.
Absolutely, Leo. That would be wonderful.
Dave, how do you feel about the Mayan connection and the Mayan 2012?
Well, I wanted to ask you, George, if my memory is correct, we're going into, is it the last day or is it the last week, whatever, year, I guess. We're going into the ninth level on February 5th. Is that correct?
Well, yes, that's the level, yes. But we're starting, we started in November, the seventh day, the last day.
Okay.
We started this November, last November.
Last November, yes. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
What happens on February 5th? Don't we enter that period where we go from everything that's happening in 360 days, we have the same amount of information and data and stuff thrown at us every 20 days?
Well, no, it's not that soon, but it's like 260 days. But that starts in I think in March, Dave. I don't have my notes here. But that's where we see the speeding up of time and speeding up of consciousness. And it's not until we get into, you know, the last segment where time speeds up to 20 days, then in hours, and it's unfathomable on my level. You know,
but that'll be in what? In October, right?
Yeah.
That's not for 28.
Right, yes. We're in a time now, and we will go into the time of co-creation. And that's what we will be experiencing right before 2012 for the changeover. But it's just the initiation that we're going through. Right now we're in the illusion of the imaginary change of consciousness. And it's this new illusionary idea will start manifesting in three dimensions come the ending of this period. And we will be doing that ourselves, just like we are producing our the reality that we see around us now, including our Bible, our body. You know, it is an illusion, but it's an illusion and a manifestation of our consciousness, where we are, what we are, everything expressed in the body. And we make that up, and we hold it together.
Well, so what? As of when? October? We're going to start separating from that.
Well, no, that's what we will be into. We will be able to do, but it's between
we will be able to
understand the manifestations that we are causing, and this is through our illusions, through our dreams. Our dreams are becoming reality. Just like right now, I think reality is just the awareness of a waking dream. But by then, it will have power and creation properties, and that's the section. That's the time that we're going to. We will all become co-creators of the universe.
You know what? I don't mean to bring up anything negative here, but
I'm only kidding. Go ahead.
No, the only thing that disturbs me about that concept is recently the guy who shot
Gabby Gifford,
Congresswoman
Gabby Gifford, in
was dealing with this concept of
walking consciousness,
walking or dreaming. Yeah, what was it? Dream consciousness or something.
Yeah,
and his whole reality was a dream. All right, or a waking dream. All right. And that was what his whole reality was, or is, according to him. That's why he can't. He's in a state of denial, basically.
Yeah.
That he's saying that this is all a dream, and this is not something that actually happened. And that he's living within a dream. And I hope people don't
confuse
that concept of his, all right, with what we're talking about, because essentially it's kind of a close cousin. I mean, if we will eventually be walking in a fourth dimension or merging into a fourth dimensional reality, I don't know if we'll be really be able to adjust to that immediately. You know what I mean?
Well, Leo, that's not the truth of it.
What's
the truth of it? That this situation in Arizona was by a fellow who was experiencing that same exact thing I'm talking about.
He is
manifesting his illusion, his dream.
Well, yeah, but it's not.
Well, he's hallucinating.
But I mean, he's hallucination. As opposed to reality. We're talking about an emergence of reality, okay, into
reality,
a fourth.
Leo.
This guy is operating.
He's psychotic.
Operating in a delusional reality here that he's manufactured, okay, for to assassinate a congresswoman. I mean, and of course he wound up killing six others in the process. But, I mean, this kind of demented delusion is a dangerous path to
for anyone to take.
For anyone to take. And what I'm trying to say is if we go back to Lungol's lectures regarding this time frame, all right, and this time, he says people will go crazy. This is people are going to start going insane, okay, and more than they ever have, because they won't be able to comprehend what's going on. And
Leo,
yeah,
you might want to take into consideration some external factors, things that George is not talking about, but it will certainly contribute to what you're talking about, and that is the fall of dominance of the United States financially in the world, the removal of the dollar as the financial currency standard will have devastating effects on many people in the United States. And people that are living in the cities, I would not want to live in a city or near a city, because they're talking about, but that happens, oil goes to sky high. We're paying $5 plus by the summer for gasoline.
Shortages, yeah, the massive shortages that they're talking about, food shortages and electrical and,
it's not so much, Leo, that there's a shortage, it's just that we won't have access to it because the truckers aren't going to drive. They're not going to pay that kind of money, and the companies are not going to pay, and basically our infrastructure is going to break down.
I agree. I think that's a definite possibility, but I also think that between that economic breakdown, I think we're going to go into a severe intellectual or mental breakdown as far as a society, because you're seeing it now, and you're seeing the polarities developing. They're trying to merge left and right and make everybody happy. If you look at the State of the Union message and all this crap since the assassination attempt, but I think what is coming about is the masks will be ripped from the American people. The sense of denial that we've been in and that so many people have been in over these years. It's happening now. If you look at the truth movements, if you look at all of the information that's coming out of the American imperial ambitions, to dominate the world, these things are all being unmasked, and if you're being unmasked by the internet and other researchers. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think you're going to see this polarity reach a height in 2012, all right, with the elections.
Even before that.
You're also seeing it with the riots in Egypt. You're seeing it with the riots in Europe.
All right, let's break this down if we can a little bit.
Ahead, this intellectual.
Let's not look at this intellectually. Let's look at this casually and emotionally. This fella who killed these people and hurt the senator was nuts. He was crazy. But you see, he is a religious fanatic, where what he's doing, he's helping people go to heaven a lot faster. But, it's a call to arms, and somebody had to get killed. So he was the one who did it just to be part of the play that's being played out here so people could see this. He's looking at this from a religious point of view.
That's like saying that what's his name, who killed Lenin, was destined to stop the peace movement.
What I'm saying is
that the guy who killed Kennedy, Oswald, or whoever it was tried to stop the liberal movement in this country, which is true, and which I cite in my book, the assassinations of assassination of liberalism, basically, because the government, the United States government, came down hard, and they came down hard in the 60s, the conservative element to destroy Kennedy, his brother, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, In the 80s, in 1980, it was John Lennon, who was actually the last bastion of the last voice for real liberalism and peace. And, and this happened. And then what you saw in 1980 was you saw the tremendous surge of insane fundamental Reaganism, conservatism, which absolutely annihilated this country and destroyed all progressive thinking. Okay.
No,
and,
not all of it. Just put it underground. Because it's still there, obviously, Leo. You're
into economic devastation, basically. So, that's brought us right to where we are now, where you got nutballs like Sarah Palin and the girls, running for president. So it's like,
that's part of the illusion that's being played out. It's just like people have different beliefs. And who's to say one belief is better than the other? It's all, they're all being played out for what they are. But it's the power of the human, but also the energies that are making these things happen.
But what you're saying is exactly what I'm telling you, is that this intellectual war is going to come to a head in 2012. It's coming to a head now. Okay, you're seeing
it
now.
It's not an intellectual war.
Now we're going to experience the suffering of it.
But we've been
many
exactly,
people, and that's
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
We've had the intellectual war, the liberals against the conservatives.
We've been fighting it for 10 years with these radio shows,
now,
and television programs, and everything.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Now what we're going to have is we're going to experience the suffering,
and
the suffering is going to come through economics.
Right. And government policy.
And government policy driving that.
Right, martial law, if there will be, or different insane oppressive government actions that you're going to be seeing around the world. But
let's bring it down to the home level. What's it going to do there? And you'll see it in not only crimes, but divorces
not so much divorces, George.
It's basic needs. It's basic needs.
Being able to afford their rent or their fuel oil.
Exactly.
Or being able to go grocery shopping. Right now, people only think that happens to the poor.
Gradually creeping upwards toward the middle and upper middle classes, aren't there?
But who do you blame for these people that go bananas and kill all these, do all these killings? Do you blame them for their emotions, or do you blame the people who caused it?
Well, I think everyone is. There's a piece of responsibility when there's an atmosphere of hate, and when you live in a country where it's okay to go and drop bombs on other people, we don't think too much of some poor Iraqis being killed or some Afghanis. We call those people collateral damage.
Yeah,
George.
Yeah, the politicians call it collateral damage. I don't call it collateral damage. I call it murder.
But we elect those politicians, George, based upon their ideals or what they represent, and they represent.
I didn't. You see.
Well, in this country, so it's like the sad part is that until the mask is completely torn away. All right, America sees what they're doing, okay, and the rest of the world sees it. The rest of the world knows full well what America's doing, and America's got their hands in everybody's pockets, all right? But what's happening is the Americans...
Well, people aren't looking at that. What they're looking at, how they're going to make ends meet at the end of the month, and how to get all this water from the rain and the flooding out of their basement. They're having to take care of
the same. Yeah, I know. I totally agree with you. They're looking at that, but they're not. But what's going to happen is the problem is that why is this happening?
If you're not part of the solution, George, you're part of the problem.
Why is this going on? We've been talking about weather modification, for years on this program, okay, and on our Tuesday programs. We're one of the only talk shows in the country that continually have done that.
Right.
And do it. And yet people don't understand that right above their heads, planes are mapping the sky with crisscrossing chemtrails, polluting our atmospheres, all right, depleting our sunlight, right? Simply because I of their, you know,
we don't know why they're doing.
Well,
this
we do. We
no,
do.
You
we,
don't know
we,
why.
We've brought
can,
it up a number
can,
of times.
You can guess why, but you don't
well,
know
if
why.
There, if there are government and international agencies who have put out their policies and their plans, which we have read and we've read on the
I
air,
know,
and
we
have
don't know
published in my books,
why,
have published
yeah.
on my websites, those things are there. Okay, they have stated their goals to deplete the population, the human population, by 225 and come two-thirds of the world population by 250, okay, 2050. It's there, written, signed off by three presidents, okay, signed off by the
I'm
head
a,
of, I'm of
a,
the U.N.
I'm aware
I mean,
of
it's
that.
It's there. So, I mean, to deny it, you don't know that
that's specifically what chemtrails are doing. You can guess that
it's
it is.
It's part of it. Because, well, how can it not be if you,
well,
have, if
you know
there's blood pathogens in there? If
it's not natural.
It's not natural, yeah.
That's all you
yeah.
can say, that's what it is.
But these things
natural.
Are leading to
you
mean,
can make a good guess.
Well,
but no, but Lila, you're right. But I can honestly say that I've watched chemtrails come in, and I watched the effects I've had on my body. And, I mean, I remember a Saturday where it was about 9 o'clock. I went out for some fresh air in the porch, and that's where I seen these chemtrails being made. And they were starting to make the X's in the sky. And by noon, the sky was filled with clouds.
That's
and
right.
It was like black clouds.
That's
and
right.
I came down sick. My wife came down sick, and a few other people around us. And,
that's
you
right.
know, it wasn't... it wasn't something, a flu or something I brought from home. It was something that I picked up here and I left with.
They're breathing
and,
it
you
in.
Know, I really feel it's in the air. And, you know, I think that there's a reason for it somewhere. And I don't think it's a natural reason. And, you know, it could possibly be, shenanigans, wrong shenanigans going on. All
I know,
I know
it's not healthy population for me. Reduction. If you see guys like Henry Kissinger, you know, Ronald Reagan,
Jimmy Carter, even kind of.
excuse me, George W. Bush, George Bush Senior, all of these clowns, okay, signing off on these mandates to reduce the global population, okay, and then you hear guys like Bill Gates, okay. Coming out, and I've seen the video where he's talking to a group of people saying that he, you know, he is endorsing and promoting vaccination, AIDS vaccinations around the world because he knows and he's very grateful that he sees that it's working, that what they're doing is they've seen since he's been funding these programs and pumping these AIDS vaccinations into the third world. He's seen a reduction
population reduction
of 10% and growing. And this is exactly what has been stated before, is this AIDS virus, is they're shooting the AIDS virus into these people and the entire continent of Africa now and others are besieged by this virus, okay? And people are dying in countries that never had this stuff before, all right? So when you see this, and when you hear guys like Ted Turner, all right, Ted Turner came out and said publicly, okay, in front of the UN that you know that he gave $1 billion to the UN, okay, for specifically for their goal of human population reduction, okay. And saying that we must get rid of the useless feeders, okay? This was his exact words, all right? And when you have these things there, George, and you have these people saying this and funding these programs and governments, government-sponsored genocide, okay, around the globe, you know, you can't deny what's going on. I mean, Lila is denying it. I don't know why. For the last 10 years, she's seen it.
I'm not denying
it.
I'm not denying it. What I said to you is...
You said you don't believe it.
I did not say that.
Well, what did you say?
I said you can't prove exactly that that's true. There's a lot of hypotheses as to why they're chemtrailing.
They're proving it.
They haven't really...
They're proving it. You You can look up in the sky every day.
I know, Leo. I've done as much studying on it as you have. I listen to it every week. I do.
You still deny it.
I am not denying it. You don't listen.
Well,
I said it's not infallibly true. That's what I said. You can't.
Well, neither is the resurrection of Christ, but everybody believes it. Okay, so it's like,
well, maybe
you know, it's like the to me, if you see this stuff coming down on you, all right. I've been in rainstorms, okay, around this area where there's actually crap that actually falls down. Okay, you can see
I've never experienced anything.
I have. Okay,
well, I
so it's like, you know, other people have as well. All right,
Milo, I'm on your side. The only thing I can say is I have faith in humanity, and you can go back thousands and thousands of years. We're still here. I mean, governments and power people have always been here, and this is a game that they played out for years. I mean, they've always played this out, genocide. But I don't think it will ever happen. You know, I hear stories that, you know, there's, 6 billion people now that were running out of space. You know, that's a crock. That is a real crock. You go in the Midwest, and, you know, we have territory now that hasn't even been touched by mankind. You go down into Amazon, and, you know, we have more land than we know what to do with. And
I agree with you 100%.
And we can have crops.
I agree with you 100%. The fact that they say there's not enough land and too many people is a myth that they're perpetrating on the public. You're absolutely right.
But the fact that that China and India and the United States and Europe and all of these countries and all of these in Africa and all these emerging
there's enough land
countries,
for everybody.
No, what's happening is the resources. Okay,
I've
land is there, but the resources are becoming scarcer and scarcer.
Well,
as these
superpowers invade other countries to steal the natural resources.
Of course, and that's what's happening now. But you have. But and that's also why you have the powers like the IMF, okay, the International Monetary Fund, going out there and
bankrupting countries.
Yeah, going out lending.
Have you seen? But the problem with that, and it's coming to an end. It's fallen. I mean, that's a big illusion. It's coming to an end. And
I hope.
It's coming to an end. Everything is coming out into the open right now, and it can't sustain itself. I'll tell you what. I'm more worried about pole shift. And geological changes. I mean, Mother Earth has more power over us than any of these governments, you know, combined. And it will only take one focus that will change our mind in a day. And, you know, we're not infallible to that. I believe Mother Nature has more control over us than we think. And to be truthful, you know, the Mayans talk about this time. And, you know, government is going to be the least of our worries.
I think you have a good point, George, about Mother Nature. She's very strong.
But I also think that...
Take a look
at
the snow, the winter. This winter has devastated the Eastern Coast. And, you know, the Midwest also been hit. I mean, it was 17 below zero here a couple days ago. And it was 40 degrees below zero upstate New York, further than what I am. And, you know...
Really?
This is cold.
Georgia.
Very cool. You're not too far from me, folks.
If I can just get back to one thing. If we're looking at the synergy of the world consciousness at this point, okay, where is it? You're seeing revolution, and you're seeing revolution everywhere because you're seeing this dichotomy, or you're seeing this polarity of the rich and poor. And the rich and poor are a greater and greater and greater divide now. Okay, where you have 5% of the world's population, you know, controls about 95% of its wealth. All right,
and
that's quite frightening.
Isn't it interesting that this kind of revolution is starting where? In the Middle East.
Middle East.
Started in Europe.
Well, no.
It's also going on here. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, there were students rioting in New York City because it's Wishnikes. And, you know, you caught maybe 3 minutes of news on that. But you remember a couple of weeks ago what the French people did? They almost caused a national riot.
Yeah.
You see,
they won't.
Of the news.
news will not cover American dissent. Absolutely not. They don't show it unless they show some crazy Tea Party crap. Okay.
Yeah, but you see what's happening now with we have YouTube and so forth. People take their own pictures, their own of this, and you can't deny it. You can't deny it.
Right.
For now, until they say, look what they
do. Problem still exists in that mainstream media controls the majority of people's consciousness or awarenesses, and people believe they're plugged into CNN, NBC, and Fox, etc., and they believe that crap to be true, which is ridiculous. We all know that. We're the preaching to the crowd. We're the pulpit here. We understand all that stuff. But I agree with you, George, that, you know, you want to talk about Mother Nature. I just saw on the History Channel or something about not Krakatoa, but Krakatoa's kid, if you will, the new volcano that's growing there, which is a potential really scary thing. That's just one. And not only do we have weather problems and the government, our government, screwing with things. I totally believe that what happened with Indonesia was American government initiated.
Part of the HAARP program, probably.
Exactly.
The first ship, the closest ship to the epicenter of that quake that started the tsunami, was American. It was an American, I forgot the kind of ship it was, one that measures seismic activity. Okay, that aside, that's only on the planet. You know, what about the meteor that's heading our way? What about the Anunnaki? What about, you know, aliens that if they want to say, hey, you know what, you guys screwed up. We're going to wipe you guys out and then start all over again.
The Anunnaki, we talked a bit about that.
And then, George, you're right again. And I don't understand if you understand this, Leo, but I understand where George is coming from. Because I know George for a longer than you do. I know him for a long time. And I really appreciate your personal motto, George. You want to know what it is,
yeah.
Too, right?
Which is what?
George's personal motto? He's a spiritual being having a human experience.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If you really get that, then what George is saying is true. I mean, you know.
Let me correct one thing, though, that you said, because there's a couple of problems there with that. Number one is, if you look at who actually watches and believes anything in the mainstream media, it's only about less than 30% of the entire U.S. population even watch, okay, the news, okay, on any news.
Well, then, Leo, let me ask you one question. If less, let's give it the benefit of the doubt, say 35% watch. How in God's holy world did someone like Obama get into office?
How? Simple.
Through the media.
Absolutely simple.
And fixed elections.
Who was he running against? You know, some brain-dead Arizonian, alien? All right? You had Obama or you had McCain, okay? I mean, that was no choice. You had two people. That was it. All right?
So you can vote for a guy that's worked for the CIA for at least 5 years for George Bush Sr. in the Middle East, a man who's fluent in multiple languages, you know, Farsi, etc., who from what I understand, he's not really a Negroid. He's actually his appearance, where he looks like a mulatto, it comes from the family that comes from the natives of Hawaii, you know. I don't want to get into this. It really doesn't.
He was for sure.
He was a media creation, right? That's what he was.
He was created by the CIA a long time ago. He's been primed for this role for a very long time. And you went from an idiot cowboy, who you know really is from Maine, not from Texas, who barely made it through Yale, who probably cheated his way all the way through, who had a big mouth, talked very little, and then after this guy is gone, you put in a Harvard graduate who speaks articulately and powerfully and charismatically and whips up the fervor of people for change, change, change. Well, change doesn't have to be for the quote-unquote good or for the more pleasureful way of experiencing life. Change could be, you know, hey, baby, buckle down tight because gas is going to skyrocket. And when gas skyrockets, food skyrockets, transportation becomes very difficult or impossible to fly a plane when the cost of the jet fuel is more than doubled. You know, it's going to be, as you said earlier, Leo, that the fissure between the middle class and the upper class and the lower class, it's like the rich becomes ultra rich, and the middle class becomes mostly middle to poor. And if you're not sitting on the upper crest, the upper echelon, good luck, Charlie. Good luck. You're going to have neighbors, you know, in ritzy communities on Long Island taking each other apart just as easily as they would 5 years ago, had them over for a barbecue. They would shoot them for their food.
I agree with you. I fully agree with you. These are the kind of things that you'll see. And this is what you're seeing now in other countries, okay, where the scarcities are there, and you're seeing that what was middle class coming out in droves and toppling these governments because they no longer can afford to live.
There are no jobs.
There are no jobs. There are no, you know, they can't afford their rents. They can't afford anything. And now
and that's
and
the way
education
it looks.
is being hey, taken away from them.
Can I suggest something?
Of course, in the Arab countries, they don't even have those opportunities. So it's like this is suddenly becoming the rage. And what I was saying is that in 1968 was the last time we saw this kind of revolutionary surge around the world. You saw it in Hungary. You saw it in throughout Eastern Europe. You saw it in Africa. You saw it in the United States. We were all the world was completely radicalized at that point. All right.
Can I say something?
Yes.
What I'd like to do is pay it forward. You know, we've been rambling on here and talking about, you know, some of the hardships of life right now, but there's a beauty now that we've experienced, and I got to say, in the last 5 years, that, you know, has never been achieved before. And, you know, we've almost come to a point where we can eradicate diseases, but what we have to do is we have to implement it. And, you know, some of our technology, nanotechnology, we can go in there and alter genes and fix them by small machines that we make. I mean, let's see, if you want to look at Star Wars, look at, you know, that is with us now. We have some of that technology. And also manufacturing life, we can do that. So there's a lot of things that we can do. And the one thing on a human nature, on a human level that we can do, is that connect to our hearts, to the love we have of one another, and just pray for these things to go away. Prayer now is stronger than any army, but you have to implement it. And now it's being implemented. I do believe there's a lot of things that are going on in this world right now that prayer is holding it together, and prayer will hold it together and change it. And all of this is part of that unity consciousness. You know, we don't have to believe the same thing, but we believe with the same thing, and that's our heart. And our heart, that's the only thing that connects us to the outside world, to the sun and the rest of life. And that's what we're going through. That's what we're experiencing. And even though we have the ability to go crazy and do crazy things, we also have the ability to join other forces or other people, and the power that we have from a negative point, we also have a positive point, and we can do things, and we can.
Well, here's a prime example of what you were saying, which I don't disagree with that, but using it as a physical example. I was watching some of the riots in Egypt tonight and on television, and the only and all of a sudden after within the this period of tremendous physical beatings by the police and the whatnot, and after the police gave up, the police actually gave up
for a little bit.
But what happened was once the police withdrew, all of the rioters got down on their knees and prayed. There was a huge mass prayer, okay, to Allah.
Right.
Got back up again, and then they kept going, and then what happened is shortly after that they called in the army, but the army was besieged by all of these thousands and thousands of rioters, but they were hailed.
The army was sent in to protect the municipal buildings, Leo.
That's right. But
so they weren't.
But at the same time,
hurt them.
They weren't. Yeah, but at the same time, they were besieged by the
revolutionary.
By all the people. And
what you said, Leo, was astonishing. It really was. The protesters got on their knees and prayed and got up and continued on. When have you ever heard of a protest where they've done that, besides a religious protest?
Well, they pray four times a day, so it was probably
prayer. But I believe it was kind of a prayer that they went through right after the police gave up. The police just withdrew. Okay, and because of the massive, they just couldn't contain the rioters.
Now, Leo, you might listen to Lila, is it, or Lila?
Lila,
and I think it could have been like clockwork. They will pray, pardon the French, but it's so accurately religiously, like a Swiss watch. As the clock strikes 4 p.m. in the afternoon, boom, they're down on their knees and they're praying. And I have a very good friend who's a Muslim here on Long Island, and he's from Pakistan. He sounds and looks quote unquote Indian, but he's from Pakistan and he's a Muslim, and one of the nicest guys you could ever want to meet. Very generous, gives a lot of his income to charity. And, you know, and he stops and washes his hands and prays. So maybe that's just like, oop, stop what we're doing right now. We got to pray. And,
is he
going to keep on beating up on them because they're praying? I don't think so.
What is his opinion now of Pakistan? I mean, the riots that are going on in Pakistan right now.
Well, the thing that, again, you're not getting here in the news, unless you listen to Al Jazeera, is the we've been bombing and fighting in Pakistan for a long time now.
That's true.
Well over a year. And though it's not being reported, you know, all we know is about Afghanistan. Well, Afghanistan is pretty much done. It's basically we're getting ready to go, you know, into the public, meaning being covered by the media, in Pakistan. Why? Because, well, one of the things is that the Taliban almost has complete control of the government. They don't yet. But they almost do. And here's the difference between Afghanistan and Pakistan. Okay, Afghanistan has poppies and oil and access. You know, the Uzbekistan pipeline goes through them, and that's important. That's why they're there. So they can get the oil from there through Afghanistan to the waiting tankers who are owned by whom? Yeah, Standard Oil. And is it going to the United States? No, it's going to China. But Pakistan doesn't have an oil or a drug possibility for us to benefit from, us meaning big business, American big business. They have something else that's more scary than not getting the oil and not getting the drugs. 18 nuclear warheads, minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum.
Now, the other problem,
sold to them by North Korea or someplace.
Wherever, India, actually.
India.
But the strange thing is, though, is like, you know, and I was so pissed off that this wasn't reported as much as it should have been. There were over 4 million Pakistanis that were displaced by the devastating floods.
Yeah.
That nobody talked about.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Just
yeah.
Right.
I heard about that, and also I have a very dear friend who's she's a geophysicist, PhD. She's Chinese, and she's in China. Actually, she's probably back in China right now. No, wait, what's today? We're still in January? She's still here for another month before she goes back to China. Her mother lives here, upstate, George, not far from you. But she's a geophysicist, and she used to work for NASA, she still does work for NASA. She used to work for the UN, and they fired her because, why? Her technology, her instrumentation is so good that she can predict a earthquake with a 99 percentile 6 days away from its happening.
So why did they fire her for that?
What do you think the UN is about? You said it earlier. What did Ted Turner give the money for?
Yep.
Population reduction.
Thank you very much. So know that these things are not happening by accident. And
We're aware of that. The weather modification programs are
and in China, they've killed, a lot of people have been killed in China. The disease that's there, I mean, it's a bad, bad scene. They got a lot of people. Yeah, 1.3 billion people, but still, you know, they could knock out 200,000 just like that with a really wicked earthquake.
All right,
well, you know what they're doing there, too.
Let's look at this from the human level, too.
Don't you think
able to pick this up before it happens?
Well, George, that's what I was trying to tell you, that this woman can do this. She was in Philippines. She saved hundreds of thousands of lives because she predicted that earthquake, and she told people, and they moved. They got the hell away from Dodge because it was going to go down.
Well, this is that co-creation that I was talking about, that we would be able to, we will be experiencing. We'll be able to change our reality by being aware of it ourselves. Instead of having to wait to have somebody tell us what's wrong or something is wrong, we would pick this up ourselves, psychically, if you'd want to call it that. But we are in tune to the earth. And we can respond ourselves. We don't have to wait to have somebody tell us, you know, to get to higher grounds. And, you know, all we have to do is let it happen, or let your soul or your consciousness experience it. And this is part of that ascension that we talked about. Instead of thinking with your head, think with your heart. And that's
exactly
the only difference. And,
exactly,
you know, the only difference between
us. Agree with you on that. I want to so believe with you, and I do to an extent. But unfortunately, most people, okay, can't predict the. I mean, we can't even predict the freaking weather, okay, within 24 hours properly. Maybe some old timer, or maybe you or I might be able to look and say, you smell the air and say, oh, I think it's going to snow tomorrow or rain. But I mean, as far as predicting an earthquake, I don't think so.
I know so.
Leo, there are animals that
without barometers, without something.
Watch,
but I mean, I can't predict coming.
And they'll tell you, hey, there's going to be a volcanic eruption. We're going to get the hell away from Dodge too.
Absolutely. No, I agree. But what I'm saying is, you emotionally can't tell that there's going to be an earthquake coming. You know,
no, but you can attune to understanding the reality of it. I mean, you know, you were never told how to plan something like this or how to catch this, but I think intuitively we would be able to experience this and know what it is instead of having to find out what it is through somebody else. And we would know the truth by our own experience, not something that somebody told us.
Without instruments and without science.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's part of the consciousness that we're experiencing now, and it's a speeding up of consciousness since 1999. We've been talking about this for 4 years, and it's part of this illusion. First of all, it's exposed itself, and where it will go to, or where we will experience co-creation at the end of the cycle. And we're coming down to the end of the cycle, and we're coming down to our moderate time cycle, which is running every year now. And it's going to shift out to every 260 days or a segments of a year. And then it goes down to days. So we're experiencing things very, very quick. And we would be able to take this and experience this, feel this. Now, psychics can do this. And all it is, the only difference between a psychic and a regular person is a regular person thinks with his mind. A psychic thinks with his mind and his heart. And it's the heart, it's that physical factor that that connects it. And that connects the spiritual world. And the spiritual world is clairvoyant or whatever you want to call it. But it's the other part of us that science denies.
Well, that's true. I think that's very true, George. I agree with you. I wanted to ask your friend there, though. Why is your friend returning to China? What is her mission in China that she's returning?
She feels she feels that there's going to be more earthquakes in China, and she's interested in helping the victims that are there and helping the government deal with what's coming. She's also, I neglected to tell you, that one, she's so good with this instrumentation. Yeah, you need some heavy-duty, construction equipment to set it up, because you got to dig a 12-foot hole to put some of this in the ground. But once she gets it set up, she can teach a 12-year-old to read it and accurately report, such that the 12-year-old can say, hey, it's coming in 36 hours. It's coming in 24 hours. That's how easy it is to read once the instrumentation is set up. So NASA still uses her. When they have a takeoff or landing of the space shuttle, they always hire her to check the ground to see that it's going to be safe when the bird is landing or when it's blasting off.
Is interested in population reduction, why would the Chinese government allow her to share this technology?
Well, no, this technology didn't come from China. She has it here in the United States.
I realize that, but why was it? But she's going to China to share this technology with people who need it. What makes her think that the government, whose mission is really population reduction, would be allow her to do that? Because my assumption is that the Chinese government is very controlling.
I would
think that she's probably not working for the government per se, but I honestly don't know. I know that one thing, I'm going to be having a conversation with her in the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
It is a question to ask her.
Yeah, I will. I'm very much looking forward to speaking with her. She suggested to me a couple years ago to relocate from Long Island because what she feels is the La Palma situation. You know about that, right?
Oh, you'd have to tell me. What did you say?
La Palma Island?
No, I don't know anything about that.
There's an island in the Azores that is it's a different kind of volcano that created this island. In other words, I don't know how to describe this. Okay, so I do just do this visually so you can see it, but basically this island is about twice the size of Manhattan.
Okay.
It's about 3.5 miles, same length, but twice as wide. All right? Now imagine in the middle of Manhattan you have a volcano, and this erupts, but along a ridge of what were prior peaks, okay, formerly active peaks of a volcano, the lava isn't up there anymore. It's water that has been forced up into the vacant lava chimneys, if you will, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when La Palma Island blows in the central peak, the vibration, the shaking of the island will literally break the island in half, and the water will come through the top, and half of this island will drop into the Atlantic Ocean. So we're talking about a stone that's 3.5 miles long and a mile or so wide.
And it'll create a tsunami?
Exactly. Big enough to cover from Newfoundland down to the Florida Keys. And what she said was, well, George, you and I had talked about this. You said if you were 400 feet above sea level or something like that, you would be safe. Maybe I think you said between 4 and 6. She said, no, David, that's close. 700. You got to be 700 feet above sea level.
I have to interrupt just for 1 second. We have about a minute remaining to our live feed, our stream. We will be on. We can continue the show, and since you've called in, that's great. We'll be able to record the rest of this. But I'm just anybody out there right now who's listening to our program, please call in, and you will be able to continue with us on this program. It's 1-646-915-9505 if you want to continue listening to us. Otherwise, you can pick us up on the archives after the show. So we're okay right now. We only got 30 seconds left. For all of our listeners, I want to thank everybody and join us in our new time slot, 3:30 p.m. on Sunday afternoons and 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Wednesday nights. So continue, David. Sorry to interrupt
you. I can also say thank you, you know, from the bottom of my heart for listening in and being part of the show. Thanks again. God's blessing. Thank you. Go ahead, Leo.
All right. And anyway.
So continue saying that when that island, when that half of that island drops into the Atlantic, it will create a tsunami, and you have to be safe, you'd have to be 700 feet above sea level?
Yeah. And I know the highest point on Long Island is something like the highest natural point on Long Island, not the the Veterans Memorial at Exit 63 is actually the highest point, but that's artificially created. The natural highest point is in Seacliff. It's about 250 feet above sea level.
So that'll be wiped out, obviously.
Long Island's underwater. Manhattan, half of New Jersey, you know, a good part of Connecticut, all of Florida, a good part of the coast of North Carolina, Georgia, most of Texas, Mississippi, Louisiana, good part of Georgia, the southern part of Alabama and Mississippi. So, you know, where do you go? You got to go to the highlands. You've got to go to upstate. You got to go to the northern parts of New Jersey, to the higher lands of the middle of Pennsylvania, to the Appalachians, to...
We know, what kind of advanced warning would we have if this, or would there be any?
You know what? The date for this was, there's a geologist who's been focusing on this all of his adult, you know, professional life, and he said that, I'm trying to remember what year it was. It was December 2007 was the earliest that this could happen, and the latest, absolute latest that could happen is, I forgot what month, but not that I'm going to be alive, 2062.
Oh, okay.
It's a definite deal. It's been predicted by native people, native shamans from Africa, Central America, and North America.
We talked about the Ross ice shelf there in Antarctica, which could break off at any time also.
That's another one.
Create a large...
there's the one in Antarctica. There's another one in Greenland. There's a big piece of ice that is melting very, very fast. Talk about the polar bears, neighborhood disappearing. If this thing breaks off and falls down, it'd be huge. The one that's in Antarctica is even bigger. If that one breaks off, but right now it's Greenland is winning as far as melting faster.
So are we seriously in a global warming cycle, or are we in a...
doesn't feel like it.
What are we in here?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. It's not what the government's telling us. Good old, Al Gore. It's not what the government's telling us. It's an illusion.
Yeah, we're going into a coldest cycle. You have to understand that, this warming cycle only lasts so long, and it's basically 12,000 years. And then we'll shift back into a cold time. And that's what's happening right now. And right now we're just shifting the cold spots on the Earth with a polar shift. But you take a look at what's going on, you know, in Europe right now. And, definitely the weather currents have changed, just like the weather currents from the Gulf of Mexico. But, you know, this is one of or part of Mother Nature's part, I think, in this change that we're experiencing. And believe me, if something like this, like Dave, you're talking about, happens, you watch Washington, they'll be pumping out more money than you could shake a stick at. What was it, $700 billion they gave to the oil, or the water, the auto industry? Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, they'll be able to keep up with it.
Well, the question that I have, okay, is that, we understand that there's global. I mean, why would they really want to stop? Why would they want to warn anybody about this stuff? Is because, if their actual goal is to depopulate the Earth, or the planet.
Leo, when as George said, when the polar shift happens, the North Pole, in other words, the magnetic North Pole, instead of being where it is right now, will be many degrees further to the south. And basically, what's happening is the planet is rotating north from where London is, heading north, which means the North Pole will be over Europe, and all of Europe except for possibly Portugal and Spain and maybe the bottom part of the boot of Italy will be under the polar ice cap. And what's happening right now, it's documented. There are people in Washington, I know such a person, who travels back and forth. He's a lobbyist to some degree. He was a cabinet member in Clinton's cabinet, and he said that they're very aware of numerous studies of animals across the United States and on the West Coast that are all migrating north, not south, north, because it's getting warmer and warmer. And what you're finding is that the what's it called, the sockeye salmon industry,
yep,
that was in Washington State is moved,
yep,
north towards Vancouver, towards Canada. That's why our fishing, we can't fish in the Canadian waters. We're losing a lot of industry, a lot of money in there, and there are a lot of migratory animals and crops that are growing further and further north. Our breadbasket that was in the middle of the United States is moving to the northern part of the United States. And eventually, it could actually move to Canada when the shift happens.
Predicted that Washington will move to Alaska.
What
do you think?
So what will that mean for New England?
No, Washington doesn't move to Alaska. Washington moves to Denver.
Yeah,
what does it mean for New England, since that's where we live?
We're on basically a lateral. We're on the same climate as Europe.
It's going to get colder. One of the things that's predicted with these earth changes are what they call super hurricanes, which is like a cross between a tornado and a hurricane. A typical hurricane, Category 5, has 160 knots, which is, about 180 mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah.
And that's nothing. That's half of the power of a super hurricane, which can come between 200 and 300 miles an hour. And it's supposed to come off of the Atlantic, the high Atlantic, like a nor'easter on steroids, across the Northeast. Yeah. It's not funny. It's a scary thing, George, and that's one of the things that keeps me from moving up north where you are, because I love it. It's beautiful. I mean, you know, I've been to your place. It's nice in the summer. It doesn't get too damn hot in the summer. In the winter, you get snow, but, hey, you know, you guys can deal with it.
Well, we're hammered like the island was. I mean,
so what's going to happen to New England? You didn't really finish.
We went swept up in this super hurricane.
Yeah, super hurricane.
You guys are being hammered now.
Well, you know what? The that clipper that came through, the blizzard that hit New York in the end of December 28th.
Yeah.
People were talking about how bad it was in New York and how bad it was on Long Island. That was shit compared to the way it hit Boston.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It ripped through Boston. The temperature dropped tremendously, and there were winds of 50 to 60 miles an hour that were going for a lot longer than the winds that we had. We had some 50-mile-an-hour winds. I know in Oyster Bay, Bayville, George, you know where that is. There was a 68-mile-an-hour gust that was recorded. We don't get winds like that. It was like... That's ridiculous. So
Syracuse had 10 feet of snow this year so far.
We've broken the all-time snow record in January, and January is not even over. It's supposed to be snowing tonight, maybe an inch to three, and another snowstorm, a little smaller one, coming on Tuesday. Oh, wait, Tuesday is already February, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay.
You know what I say?
Sorry.
Throw another log on the fire.
Tuesday, Wednesday recorded too. It's supposed to be a snowstorm up here,
mm-hmm.
But I'm curious again to go back quickly to that super hurricane. What when have they predicted? Have they predicted that kind of thing to happen, or what, in the near future?
That's predicted. And another thing is, another good place to go look for it, Leo, is, are you familiar with a book called The Keys of Enoch?
The Keys of Enoch. No.
The Keys. It's about an inch, 2 inches thick, and it's written. It was written a very long time ago. It's translated into English, and it has eight different chapters for what is perceived as eight different types of people. I don't remember them all, the different categories of people, but you know, like there's mathematicians or there's engineers, there are spiritual or clergy people, there are farmers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you can read the whole book, and if you don't know what you are, which category you fall into, I promise you, as you read this book, it's going to take some time to read this, but as you read it, you may resonate with a little bit with this one, a little bit with that one, but there's one chapter that's going to jump out, and you're going to understand the whole thing. It'll be, wow, that speaks to me, my heart, as George would say, speaks to me. I recommend that book as a good one to start with. And then there's another one, I can't think of the name of the book, but I know these people talk about Saint Germain and a couple other saints. I'm not into the saint thing. They recommend two places in the United States as being safe from earth changes. And I don't
know. Okay, you can go on the internet, and that's just one example. Terry Anderson, she had a vision, and the vision was this new North America with the changes. And I think the what you're referring to, the Lost Book of Enoch by Jimmy Hertek. And that is an understanding of the old Kabbalah put into a natural form. And when it's natural, I'm talking about synchronicity. He mentions this.
Yeah, the two places they said were safe were Salt Lake City. They're on the same latitude. Salt Lake City and
Keys of Enoch.
And Lexington, Kentucky, I believe it is.
Really?
Yeah. And I know some. And think about the elevation. They're high enough off the ground, above sea level.
Yeah.
And both of them. There's a community growing in Lexington, like one of Asheville or Sedona, and. You know about what's going on in Salt Lake City. That's very, it's Mormon controlled.
Yeah.
So, who knows?
Let me fill in if I can here. It's basically the energy centers of the Earth. Leo, we've been talking about the energy grids of the Earth, how they've been changed. And he talks about the new energy grids. And down in Texas and also Central America, you'll experience more energy. In fact, the new energy point is in Peru, and it's moved from Tibet, the Himalayas. It's basically the center of the Earth, and the Kundalini that comes from the center of the Earth. Instead of coming out in Tibet, in the Tibetan mountains, now that energy has moved to Peru. And, of course, all the different alignments are moving with that and aligning with it. And here we talked about the geo changes that were put in motion years ago by some of the masters, and this has happened over thousands of years, and that is what has been experienced. But the weather is going to include the different geological changes that is happening now and will happen in the future. In fact, a lot of some of the landmass in the Pacific will be rising, and part of that is because of the geological movements in the inner Earth right there. But what's happening is the energies, the energy ports of the Earth are changing, and part of this is part of the change that you're talking about, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Guess who bought property down there? A lot of it. Tell them, George.
Who?
Who?
George.
I didn't.
another George.
George Bush?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well.
Well, he's got in Peru, you mean?
He knows, not that he knows personally because he's smart, but he's got people around him that know. Hell yeah.
So he bought property in Peru?
He bought a lot of property.
Huh. Well.
Good for him. Hopefully he'll blow him right the hell up.
I hope there's a volcano
right
under
it. Right into that energy vault, yeah. That'd be great.
Well, Ted Turner has also bought up a huge tracts of land.
Oh, he owns that. He's the largest landowner in the world.
Well, who's going to honor that? Who's going to honor that? Just like
honor
even
what?
Though Bush may have bought land down in Peru, but do you think they're going to honor that paper title and the paper currency that he bought it with? It's worthless. So when the truth comes to the picking, he's going to have to answer up.
Ted Turner owning a million acres, a million square miles or something of, not a million acres, but a million square miles.
Yeah.
All right, in Montana and all the neighboring Wyoming and so on. I mean, number one, who the hell is going to enforce the boundaries on that thing?
Yeah.
Okay. And once dear old Ted goes, there'll be a whole lot of people
squatting. What makes you think they're going to be able to confine us? A year from now. How do you think they can confine us a year from now? You think they're going to be able to wrap up or to round up all these Americans?
They can't even secure our borders, for crying out loud. Do you think they can secure, old Ted's million acres? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
My point exactly, thank you. You know, this power thing is one big illusion. And that bubble is bursting already, and that's what we're experiencing, and we're going to experience it in the next 6 months. We talked about this last year and going into the seventh day, understanding the sixth night brought to an end the reality of what we are focusing on. And since then, everything's going downhill, and everything will, because it's got to crash. Just like this show has got to crash, and we got to move on.
Riley, you mentioned the active volcano.
Everything has to come to an end. Don't you agree with that, Dave?
Yeah.
But I got to say that, I mean, from a Friday night perspective, it will. But, I want to thank Lila and Leo for what you've done on these blog talk shows. It's, you know, it's Wednesday where they bring the best of their Tuesday night, which is an FM program, FM radio station here in the West on the East Coast. And Leo's esoteric show on Thursday, and of course the Friday night shows with the Mayan calendar. And you know, I got to say thank you, Leo, for all the effort, and Lila, the effort that you folks put into this. And I want to thank you again. You offered quite a bit.
We're hoping to. We haven't given up. We're still on Sunday afternoons and at 3:30 tonight's at 6:30 p.m. But David, I want to thank you for being on, and you're more than welcome to join us anytime.
Pleasure. Listen, Lila, the only active volcano in South America is in Chile right now. I say the only one right now is in Chile. I saw it. I was there in the desert, the Atacama Desert, and I saw it from a distance before it blew, about 2 years before it blew, just recently. Well, recently meaning I think it was in the summer it went. And that's our summer, their winter. But that doesn't mean anything, though. The ring of fire that goes underneath the Pacific and runs into Chile, that will be active. And the earthquakes they've been experiencing in Chile, they're scary for me because I have family down there. I was about 150 yards away from that discotheque that got where the thing collapsed. I mean, I wasn't there when it happened, but I'm saying I was there.
Hey,
I know exactly where it happened.
Earthquake, too?
Yeah, that earthquake. So, you know, the whole thing with the miners down there miraculously being saved. Talk about prayer, George.
Yeah. Prayer can move mountains. I do believe that.
I just feel that that's it, George. You have to come from your heart. You got to be there. You can't be scared off by all this other stuff that's happening. The trick is to know those people that you run into who are coming from their heart, who feel that human fellowship, and those who are being governed by fear. Because fear is, you know,
fear is
the devil, if you will. It's the dark side, and it is taking you away from the possibility of, you know, the human potential.
Yeah.
That oneness that is available to all of us. Because actually, we are all part of it. We're just, you know, the illusion that we're separate here on separate bodies on this planet. But it's, like you said, George, it's an illusion.
There you go.
Well, I want to thank you both for being with us, and we look forward to you maybe joining us on a Sunday. That would be great.
I want to say one more thanks, and that's to Anthony Bryce. God bless you, Anthony. I mean, he's stuck with us for a number of years, and I listen to his show, but thank you for his listenership. Thanks, Anthony.
Okay. And thanks very much, and we want to thank all our listeners and supporters, and we'll talk to you on Sunday.
Okay.
Good night, folks.
Bless you. Good night.
Good night, Dave.
Good night,
George.
Good night, Tom.
Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody for joining us. I hope you... please join us again next week, actually, at our new time. We'll be on Wednesday, next Wednesday, at 6:30. And again on Sunday afternoon at 3:30 p.m. And again, it's Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., so 6:30 to 7. And I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. And George will be back with us in the near future on one of our Sunday programs. And I wish you well. Thanks for supporting us through these many last 4 years, and hope you continue to do so. And check our archives. And also, please, if you can, join us on Tuesday nights between 8 and 10 o'clock. On our WQQQ.com program, our WQQQ 103.3 FM program. It's probably easier to, you know, of course, the WQQQ.com. And that's 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Tuesday night. I want to thank everybody who supported us and joined us, and we hope that you continue to. And good night.